tell me a little bit about yourself, like your background, where you're from, like what you studied in school and all of that stuff. That would be a good start.
Sure. So, I am from Memphis, Tennessee, and I went to Howard University in DC. Graduated from there. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur growing up. I really just didn't know what that would look like. I just liked the idea of being my own boss and not having to clock in and having the freedom and, just being able to create what I wanted versus like having to go into an industry and someone tell me this is how you should progress and this is what that looks like. And I've always been a very creative person, so I just didn't like that idea that someone would tell me what to do, but I didn't know what industry.
Right.
So when I decided to go to Howard University because they have a really great school of business, and got into the school of business, and because I didn't know exactly what business I wanted to start, I was really, I guess one of my teachers or something told me about investment banking in Wall Street. And it was like really hot at the time, and of course you made six figures at 23, and I was just like, yes, that's what I want to do. I just want to
Right.
get into, stack my money, and then I'll figure it all out. So that was kind of the idea behind it, and I, did internships throughout college, and I got a job on Wall Street at Lehman Brothers my junior year in college, and that was actually the same year that Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. So it was really crazy because I got this offer at a company that no longer existed. And I was like, whoa, like I'm a junior. This is supposed to be way easier. And eventually Barclays Capital, they bought them. And then I worked at Barclays in New York and then came to Chicago because I was trying to follow Oprah, and I was like, if Oprah came to Chicago, then I should be in Chicago. So I knew that I wanted to build an empire, and I knew that I'm like, where should I go? And I just follow Oprah. So that's why I
That is
came to
so.
Chicago. Yeah, it's really crazy. I'm like, really, that's the reason why you like chose the city that you're in? But really it was. So I worked in banking for 3 years. I did stack my dough, and I just dipped out. I'll back up. I started a jewelry company called Couture by Kristen in college just to see how entrepreneurship was. I've always had like this passion for style and fashion and, everything girly. So I started the jewelry company my senior year in college, and then while I was in banking, I had like an online store. And this is when like online stores weren't as popular. We didn't have Instagram. It was just kind of a thing, and I created all of these, different marketing campaigns and really understood the fundamentals of business, not only, from an entrepreneurship perspective, but I was still working. So I saw these, beautiful decks for multimillion-dollar clients and understood how, from an internal perspective, how a multimillion-dollar company worked while having my own business. So it really gave me good insight on how to run a business from a high level. And, I always had this dream of being an entrepreneur, like a full-time entrepreneur. So I closed my business because it was just became too much. I think I was kind of biting off more than I could chew as an entrepreneur at the time, and trying to work till 3 o'clock in the morning for, a bigger company was just kind of overwhelming. But it gave me great knowledge and insight at the time. So eventually I quit banking to start my business, Fame Enterprises, and I did that because I saw behind the scenes of what it took for a company, and I was like, if I could do this for my jewelry business, I can do this for other clients. And of course, like before I quit, I had like probably four or five clients, and it definitely wasn't enough to survive and live, but I just at that point was just over it. So I was just like, I want to start, I can't. So yeah, and that just grew and grew, and then I was you know, pretty much able to live and bring on, you know, different additional staff and open up a studio, and it's just kind of everything's history from there. I just, because I never really gave up on it, it just grew and grew. There are really, really some rough patches and really hard times that if I knew then what I know now, things may have been different. I don't know if I would have decided to do that when I did it, but it's all, you know, it's been a growing, a constant growing, and lessons learned, and just it's interesting. People don't tell you what entrepreneurship really, really is, and I don't think anyone really can tell you. You have to kind of learn for yourself.
Wow, that's good. So then what did it look like when you were actually trying to start, like, same enterprises? Like, how did you go about doing that, and did you kind of encounter any fears, or were you just like, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to happen?
Well, I think it started because, so you talk about keeping it really real. So what happened was I always wanted to start a conglomerate, like a company that had different companies underneath it, and you know you have the fashion arm, you had this like marketing arm. It always was something I wanted to do. I wanted to have a nonprofit. I just wanted to do all these things. And what happened was, while I was in banking, I hired a consultant to help me, like someone kind of like myself, and basically gave her all this money. She took it and ran, literally took it and ran. And it was just a really hard lesson for me, because not only did I spend money, but, you know, it made me fearful to move forward, because it's like I was blinded. I didn't really know how to, you know, do what she was doing. And so I began researching and trying to figure out, okay, well, from a marketing profession, what was I actually paying for? You know, I hired somebody else that did the same thing with my website. Like, what did that actually look like? What does it take to do all these things? So eventually what I did was I taught myself how to do everything. I literally downloaded Photoshop, called my friend Benji, and was like, teach me how to do this, and for my own company. And so I learned how to do Photoshop. I learned how to do, you know, design flyers. I learned how to develop websites. I learned how to, you know, I researched a lot on YouTube of, like, how to market a business. And then eventually when I did it for myself and I did it for a few of my friends who started their own companies, I've always been really, really good at events. So it was like I now knew all of these different skill sets and how to do everything. So I was like, this can be a real company. Fame Enterprises can be the one-stop shop for entrepreneurs and, you know, small businesses to literally, you know, get their business ideas off the ground. So that's how it started. And then eventually it just grew to, you know, not just small businesses and individuals, but, you know, larger companies, because at the end of the day, like, I had to survive and live. So
wow,
it grew more, bigger than that, but that's how it started, with really somebody doing me dirty. And then I was like, you know what?
Right.
This can never happen again. I'm going to teach myself what I know. And I think that for any entrepreneur, it's extremely important to know what you're offering. If worst case scenario, if somebody does not come into work, or if someone doesn't deliver something, this show cannot stop. It has to go
right.
on, and you have to know how to do your services yourself. Not to say that you should be doing the services, because I'm sure that there are other people, and I know that I surround myself with people that are better than me on my team, but at the end of the day, I still know how to do it. If they're sick, or, you know, there's a last minute change or whatever. So that's, I know that's like a long winded way of saying, but that's how I started.
No, that's really good. And that even gives a lot of insight, because I think a lot of times people just get so caught up in like the end all be all of like what someone's story looks like. And then you don't realize that it's like, you have to learn from those low places.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps you get to where you are, which is phenomenal. So I guess my other question is, like, when you were starting Fame Enterprises, like, did you think it was going to grow as quickly as it did? Did you think it was going to, you know, be what it is now?
Well, that's the thing, and because I just literally, we posted something this morning, like, there's no such thing as an overnight success. Like, it wasn't quick. You know, like, yeah. it's been going on 7 years. So, you know, yeah, I'm young because I started early, but I could have started earlier. But Fame consists of four companies at this point. It's Fame IMC, which is our brand solutions agency, Fame Studios, which is our creative studio, Fame Events, which is our event producing or event production and management arm, and then Made Magazine. So people are like, oh, my goodness, Made, like, blew up overnight. No, yeah, we started Made a year ago. But if Fame hadn't started 5 years before that through the relationships and through the creative work we've done and everything like that, there's no way that we could have been able to do that. And from Fame Events, we created our database to grow. You know what I mean? And that took 3 years to do that. So there is no such thing as something happening overnight or quickly. It took a lot of work, and it took a lot of sacrifice. You know, I remember one winter, it was literally the coldest winter ever. Like, literally. Couldn't buy a sandwich, seriously. Wow. Could not buy a sandwich for lunch. And that's how bad it was. And it was just being able to see in the future and say, this is going to happen, God is going to work it out, you know, staying faithful, being encouraging yourself, staying positive, because in that space, your mind can go really, I mean, it could get bad. But because I was surrounded by other entrepreneurs, I had a business partner at the time named Benji. He was the one that, like, really kept me encouraged and saying, you know, Bible verses every day and, you know, vision boards and being in that space. And so I wasn't thinking about the fact that literally I had negative $623 in my bank account. I remember. And I was like, what? I don't even know how I even functioned at that rate. But it really was because I think that I believed in the vision, and there's still so much more to come. But he has to take you to those places so that that's when the best ideas came out. That's when, you know, all of these great things happened, because we're trying to be resourceful at the time, not because, oh, it was just like, we need to do this. It was because, oh, like, this has to blow up within a year. How do we reach this many people with what we have? And so I don't even remember the question, but that I just can go on and on about,
that is so good.
You know, like, the realities of life and entrepreneurship, and people think it's cute and sexy. This is not sexy. It's sexy, like, on Instagram. It's not real. That's not real life. It's hard, and it takes a long time.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much for your transparency, because I think, even myself, I'm always like, man, I know what my vision is, but just seeing it through. And so I guess, what advice would you give someone who is, you know, really trying to push through and, like, going through struggles? Like, how do you overcome those moments when you are in those low moments, in those weak points? I know you said affirmations was one of the things for you, but, like, is there anything else that, you know, keeps you grounded?
I think, you know, in those low moments, what I would say is, really, that's the time, that's the best time, because you're not busy, you know, like, because things aren't, like, popping off for real. There's one Kanye song I used to always listen to in this last call. It's like, he literally talks about from when he was in Chicago till, like, to that point. And, you know, one of the things is, like, the inspirational quotes and the affirmations, everybody says that, and that is really true. It really does work. And I think I am definitely a proponent of visualization as well, and just imagining yourself where you want to be. But at the end of the day, it's also developing your skill set. You know, in a time where I wasn't, you know, everything weren't popping off for me like that, I was going ham on Google and YouTube and Lynda and trying to figure out what can I add to my repertoire? What can I add to, you know, my skill set to make me more valuable to the, to, you know, my clients or customers or whatever. So I would say that's one thing, is just constantly learning and challenging yourself to do, to learn more and to be a valuable asset in other ways than the average person. I think that that's a major thing. I taught myself how to do video editing. So it was just, I was just like, if something has to give. At some point, this has to, something has to get better. So I was like the queen of free trials. Like, anything that was free and I could do it for 2 weeks, I was on it. Another thing I would say is, like, supporting other people during that time, too, because you never know, like, a repost from somebody or, you know, you loving their picture on Facebook. I did a whole bunch of that because, you know, serving someone else who is doing what you want to do will only position you for greatness, because they're going to remember. They're going to remember their support, and whoever your, you know, a future mentor, even if it's in your mind, like, whoever that is, follow them, serve them, ask them, how can, what can I do to help, and not ask them for anything. What can I do to help you? What can I do to support your vision? I really like what you're doing. I'm trying to do something very similar, or, you know, I can learn a lot from you. Can I sit down? Like, using that time wisely and getting out of your feelings and not looking like you're, you know, in the midst of a turmoil inside, but just constantly challenging your challenge yourself to learn and challenge yourself to support someone else, because it's really hard to do that when you're down. But that's the perfect time to, because when you get busy, you're not going to have time to learn all this extra, these extra random things. You're not going to have time. You're probably not going to be on Instagram when you're really busy. So it's like using that time wisely is important.
Wow. That's really good. And there's so much power in just that perspective of knowing, you know, that you pouring into someone else's vision, just even from a simple Facebook like, or, you know,
right,
how can I help someone else, you know? And it's interesting because we're always probably like trying to be like, how do I get my business off the ground? I need help. But it's like that reciprocation thing, mm-hmm, where it's like you give and you get a little bit. So
right, in that space, good, you know, it's hard to be in that space and be positive about someone else's success. You know, like, when you're feeling down, you're low-key kind of like, there could be some jealousy in there. There could be some little low-key hate in there. Like, damn, she's doing it. We're the same age, and she doesn't have as much. She's not as smart as me and this and that. And it's like, but have you even supported what she's doing to see how she got there? Maybe she wants to, you know, maybe she wants to collaborate with you. You never know. But because it's like people are in that space, that's why the mental is important. That's why affirmations and visualizations is important, because if you're not in the mental space to be there, then you're not going to do any of that. You're going to be salty and like, it's just nothing but the devil is just dragging you down. So just staying positive is important. And it's so hard to continue to say that, because it's like so cliche, but it's so real at the same time.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good. I guess I'll end with this question about your book. So I know you are in the process of writing a book, mm-hmm, and I know a lot of times people are like, yeah, I have these books that I want to write, and mm-hmm, they know they need to get it done. So, like, how long has that idea been in your mind? Like, how long did it take you to actually start pursuing writing it? And then what did that process look like, and what's the book about?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, the first question was, how long? Oh, did I always know? Yes, I've always known I wanted to write a book, but for me, and this is real, it's just like, I think I struggled for a long time with, like, do I have enough insight? Am I valuable enough? You know, do I have enough information to help people? And I always wanted to get to a certain point to tell my story. And I think for a lot of people, I guess, They exist, but there are not a lot of books that talk about the process of success. It's always like, after I got there, this is what it looks like. It maybe gives you a few tips on, like, how to learn, you know, what to do. But literally, what did that look like? I want to know, like, what did that look like? And I think for me, I always wanted to attain a level of success first because it is so easy to publish a book. Literally, if I wanted to publish, I could do it tomorrow. And then the costs aren't as high as they used to be. But I also wanted my first book to be really valuable and insightful, and I could share real-life situations. But at the same time, I can share real-life success stories too. And I was kind of waiting for these key pivotal moments to do that when they were already happening, you know. And it's crazy because it's like every day sometimes we're like, oh, I want, you know, I need to do this for me to write this book, and I need to do that, and I need to reach these levels of success. But the thing is, you're already doing that. And I looked back when I was kind of in that moment of even like downing myself, and I'm like, but you've already done the work. You've interviewed all of these people. You've gotten all of this extra insight in addition to your own. You have a story to tell. And so for me, my first book is really just a introduction to entrepreneurship in like my life, because I think that people need to know the background first. So my first book is more so just it's not a memoir, because it's not going to be just everything about my life, but it is going to share key stories and insights about my entrepreneurial journey, and then it's going to add in some of the success stories and conversations that I've had that haven't been published and made, and these are like offline conversations, and some of the stuff that we have touched on in the magazine. So it's going to be that coupled with my story, and then I'm going to in the process of writing a series of books of, okay, now that you understand entrepreneurship and what that really looks like and success stories and, you know, the information, and you're empowered, you're ready to go, here is a series of books to tell you exactly how to get there. So the series consists of one book, like, strictly for digital publishing. If you're interested in digital publishing, here it is. It's another book strictly for event planning and promoting. If you want to have an event, this is what it looks like. These are all the tricks of the trade. It's going to be another one strictly for branding and marketing. So one of our clients, My Hill Organics, came to us with an idea, and within 2 years, their multi-million-dollar company. How do we do that? What was the, from a strategic standpoint, from especially using the internet, how did that take place? So the first book is, you know, overview of entrepreneurship, success stories, empowering, inspiration, and then I go down to the nuts and bolts of, like, how I did it, how I founded an organization with all of these different companies and arms and specific niches. And I'm hoping that with these books, somebody can take it away and literally they don't have to make the same mistakes that I've made. And even if they do, it's like, I did tell you in the book. Did you read it? So don't do all that. You know, it's just some stuff you don't have to go through. And I want to include links, specific links, specific people, specific contacts, you know, so people can really, it's like a blueprint. But first, I feel like I have to introduce my story, so that's the one that I'm completing now. In terms of, like, the process, what I do is I'm writing it with a guy named Ron Childs. He works with me every week the format is more of an interview format, so just kind of how we're talking. We have interviews and really peel back the layers of my story, of my entrepreneurship story, and then we put that into words. And it's just an easier way, a more organic way than me just sitting down and typing, because I have that transcript and I want it to be a little bit more organic, so in conversational in tone. So that's kind of how we're doing it. And it should be done by the end of the year.
That is so awesome. I want to congratulate you on everything you're doing. I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
Funny how I've seen you from a distance. You're so welcome. And then it's just great to see other people living their dreams and being in that place of, like, purpose and knowing that they're not doing it just, you know, to stack their coins, but they're doing it because they really want to, you know, provide value and have a lasting impact and build a legacy. So I just
love that you're literally
building a legacy. Like, girl, that's so good.
And that has been another interview of an amazing Epic Fab Girl. We hope this has been eye-opening for you, and we can't wait for you to come back next time so you can draw strength from another woman's story.